Fulton, commissioners. My name is Mike Bias, B-I-A-S. I'm here of the Fishing Outfitters Association. Opportunity to... home with over 300 outfitter members and 500 guide members statewide, represents nearly all of the fishing outfitters and many of the fishing guides in Montana. Foam also represents nearly 75% of the 203 Madison River special recreation permit holders, SRP holders. We began formulating recommendations for commercial use management alternatives for the Madison among outfitters right after the 2018 April plan was rejected. During December 2018, prior to the NRC meetings, Foam initiated a series of town hall listening sessions in Dillon, Ennis, West Yellowstone, and Bozeman, meeting with outfitters across the Madison area to explore management alternatives that we could recommend to the NRC when the NRC was beginning its formulation. Foam also held a series of NRC summary meetings throughout the NRC timeframe among the outfitting community, giving them updates and summaries as we went all the way through May of 2019. Results from these meetings indicated that an allocation type management system ranked as the best management option for managing commercial use on the Madison. Any type of rest and rotation or any closure to access by boats ranked as the two worst possible management options that we can pick from. Following the disbanding of the NRC in May, we continued discourse with the outfitters, furthering our recommendations for a Madison River Recreation Plan. The plan was derived from much of the findings through the NRC meetings and refinement with discussions with outfitters across the Madison and during the NRC meetings themselves. We also promoted the idea of our recreation management plan to individual commissioners. On October 7th, we were scheduled to meet with Commissioner Stuker, and we're told about the petition submitted by the George Grant Chapter, Trout Unlimited, and others, and the Madison River Foundation. Following some discussion with Mr. Stuker, it seemed plausible for us, as commercial users on the Madison River, to make recommendations to the commission as providing our recommendations as a petition to the commission as well. We had to move quick. We knew we were a rule for you looking at the other petitions. And following our meeting with Mr. Stuker, we received unanimous approval from our board to proceed with our plan and recommendations, ask our membership if we should our plan as a petition. We did a Survey Monkey survey online. It was quick, 2 days. We asked our members, over 800 members, if we should submit our plan to the commission. 165 respondents, 75%, over 75% were in favor of us submitting as a petition. Of the respondents, 84 of those were non-SRP holders. 81 were SRP holders, and of the SRP holders that responded, 74% of those were in favor of us submitting our petition. So in all, our plan has support from the Foam members, support from the Foam board, support from outfitters across the Madison. Our commercial recommendations as a plan to you guys as a petition. Our plan is divided into several major sections. First of these discusses overall river use. Our plan does not connote any use or any type of boat closure to access as a solution to crowding. In fact, having less space for any user group or exclusive space for any user group that are currently using the river at capacity, commercial or non-commercial, simply increases crowding. It doesn't reduce crowding. As such, we propose Quake the Lions Bridge remains status quo, access by boat for wade fishing. Ennis to lake remain status quo, access to fishing by boat. And the Warm Springs to Jefferson River remain status quo, regardless of designation or commercial. Lower section as it is. Next major section includes items pertaining to commercial use management. We felt it was our prerogative to deal only with commercial users, as we are commercial users ourselves, not bring in any recommendations regarding other user groups, talk solely with commercial users. Our plan is allocative, and maximum allowance for commercial user trips based on 2019 levels. Current available information is up to the 2017 data. I just received last week all the 2018 data. It's pretty exciting. Available, they're summarized to we want to establish a trip distribution pool within that allocation available to days to qualified new SRP entrants. Flexibility, our plan allows flexibility in annual use. Unlike the BH2 or Beaverhead Big Haul rules, if not use your trips, you lose them after 3 years. Don't agree with any establishment of shoulder seasons. Permit will run annually. We're not proponents of any type of rest and rotation schedules on the Madison. Madison is not the Big Hole River. The Madison has over 200,000 user days in 2017. Fish, Wildlife, and Parks estimates that about 100,000 of those days are utilized between Quake Lake and Lions Bridge in the upper walkway section. That leaves 100,000 user days between May and September on the 37-mile section between Lions and Ennis. 100,000 user days, that's 33. If you put three people in a boat, that's 33,000 non-commercial boats on that section of the river. In the Madison, there's 73% of those 200,000 user days are non-resident anglers. 37-mile float section, like I said. And in that section, in 2017, there were 19,000 commercial user days, less than. Big Hole, contrarily, we've heard about, runs about 80,000 user days a year. It's actually 80,206. It's only 55% non-resident. And the float section is 102 miles long from Mud Creek to Jefferson River. And the outfitters in that river use about 4,000 commercial user days between June and July, so a portion of the Madison days. The Madison River is also not the Bitterroot River. The Bitterroot River runs 50,000 user days, 47% non-resident anglers, has a 33-mile float section, and 53 SRP holders. Not 203. Simply, the Madison is at capacity not only from commercial users, but orders of magnitude greater in non-commercial users. To put that same amount of capacity in smaller reaches does not effectively alleviate crowding, either on commercial reaches or in non-commercial reaches. We're effectively trying to put 10 gallons of water in a 5-gallon bucket. Further, at times of high flows, muddy river conditions, when the West Fork blows out and turns the upper river muddy, or in low river conditions during drought, any type of rest and rotation effectively closes large sections of the river and artificially concentrates 100% of the use, whether it's commercial or non-commercial, on smaller confined sections of river for extended durations that go well beyond the single-day closure. We propose no restrictions on the issuance of SRP. Fish, Wildlife, and Park commercial user data has shown that increasing the SRP numbers on the Madison River had no effect on growth from 2011 to 2017. 2011, we had 150 active outfitters. 2017, we had 175 out, active outfitters, a growth of 25 outfitters. The trip frequency distribution among outfitters showing that the increase did not, well, there were 5,700 trips in 2011, 11,000 trips in 2017. The trip frequency distribution among outfitters showed that this increase did not come from adding 25 new outfitters, but was actually an increase in year-to-year use from established outfitters that had been on the Madison for years. Type of permit moratorium also does not allow any new outfitters to enter the system. For example, on the Bayhole at the start of their process in 2000, there were over 100 outfitters on the river. Because of the way the laws are set up there and moratorium on SRP permits for the Bayhole, there are just over 60 SRP permit holders on the Bayhole now. We incorporate a tier-based allocation plan. We also want to incorporate an evaluation plan on this recreation management plan starting at year one, similar to what they did on the West Fork of Bitterroot. They analyzed the first year's user data and then modified the plan accordingly. It was adaptive. We also would like to propose to establish a commercial user group that works with the River Ranger on the Madison, not just authority from FWP. The tier-based allocation plan is the next major section. Our tiers are based on commercial use data from 2011 to 2017 that showed the percentiles of outfitter trip frequency did not change from 2011 to 17. In other words, so the median commercial use outfitted trips is 20, about a 200 outfitters. Half the outfitters are doing 22 trips or less. That median number was similar from 2011 to 2017. It didn't change. 50% of the outfitters are running 22 trips or less a year. 75% of the outfitters are running 50 trips or less a year. 75% of the outfitters are running 150 trips or less a year. 87% of the outfitters run 100 trips or less a year. That's nearly 90% of all the outfitters on the Madison are running 90 trips or less a year. Pretty important. I've been accused that this plan is complicated. I don't know. I think it's quite the opposite. A tiered system is actually very simple. It allows less administrative burden for the managers. You don't have to individually track each outfitter's days throughout the year. Give them a 25-trip permit, and away they go, and they do those trips. If they're under 25, that's fine. Outfitters are assigned a tier and can operate those number of trips or less in that year. It's less administrative burden also for the outfitter. They don't have to explicitly track each trip throughout the year. Smaller outfitters, those conducting less than 100 trips a year, comprise the majority of outfitters on the Madison, 87% or 149 outfitters. The group is comprised largely of outfitters acting as guides for other larger outfitters, local outfitters like in Ennis. Another portion of those are what we call out-of-area outfitters. They're not local in Ennis, and they're not local in West Yellowstone. Out-of-area outfitters fluctuate in the number of trips they do annually on a year on the Madison based on river conditions areas. For example, when PKD struck the Yellowstone, outfitters in the Livingston area fished the Madison quite a bit. When the Beaverhead River blew out from 2014 to 2016, outfitters in Dillon, Madison, more of those years, and also the Big Haul. The tiered plan allows for fluctuations annually on these small outfitter trips based on river conditions outside the Madison. It's been a dichotomy of ideas for the Madison plan. On one hand, you have groups that say they want a plan that allows growth for smaller outfitters or growth for outfitters. The tiered plan does that. However, you know, we are open to apply fluctuation and flexibility to all the outfitters as flex days, if we get to that point to discuss variation on the days. The majority of SRP holders, we covered that. Under the tiered plan, if an outfitter conducted 1 to 20 trips, an SRP holder will receive a 25-trip permit. 21 to 40 trips, they'll get a 50-trip permit. 41 to 100 trips, they get a 100-trip permit. That covers 150 outfitters out of 200. And incidentally, 223 of the outfitters did 0 trips in 2017. Get a 25-day permit. The rest of the tiered plan is detailed in our petition. We propose, similar to what was discussed, trips are attached to the SRP permit. Trips exceed use permit allowance. If they go over the number of trips that year, there's this front of this trip. And the trip distribution plan are distributed based on qualified outfitters. They have to show use on the Madison. They have to be qualified. Yeah, our next major section includes the evaluation plan. The evaluation plan on the Big Hall right now is every 5 years. We feel that's way too long. We like the idea of having an evaluation plan after the first year, third year, fifth, seventh, and tenth years. The evaluation plan needs to look at outfitter use by reach and by time. Allow the plan to be adaptive and change as we go forward. We also have a series of sections in our plan that provide recommendations dealing with education and social conflict, enforcement, or other management recommendations. Include respectfully request the Department of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks, Fish, Wildlife Commission adopt the recommendations in this petition, portions of the recommendations thereof, as rules pertaining to the management of commercial use on the Madison River. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to present our petition today.
Chairman, I'd like to ask Mr. Bias one question, if I could. Mike, just so we're all on the same wavelength, how are you defining the shoulder season?
So we don't define a shoulder season. Our season will run from January 1st to December 31st.
In terms of what's going on right now, how are you defining shoulder seasons? Or the June... After,
and we have no definition on the shoulder season, but certainly outfitter use on the Madison this peaks in July. Absolutely, the most days throughout the year for second week of July through the third week of July.
Thank you. I guess the only thing that shoulder season. When we use that term, it must mean something to somebody, and for me, it probably means the people fish that use that river before and after that peak period.
Right. Shoulder season, the definition comes from the Beaverhead Big Hole rules, where on the Big Hole, it's July and August is the permit time frame, the peak season. Side of that July and August is the shoulder season.
Any further questions from the commission to any of the petitioners? Any questions from the commission to members of the department based on the petitions?
I have one quick question, please. To the staff, when does the allocate, is this one not working? At what point in the year does the staff process SRP applications?
Chairman Colton, Commissioner Bioworth. I know Travis Horton is available in the Region 3 office. I'm not sure if Cheryl Morris is available. She's the one that runs that program, but Travis can probably help answer that question.
Commissioner Bioworth, members of the commission, I didn't hear the question fully. At what time of the year? What was the question?
Travis, this is Commissioner Bioworth. Would you please explain the process and the timing of when people apply for their SRPs and when they are issued?
I think right now is the reporting period, I believe, when the outfitters have been asked to submit their information on the trips from the previous year. And then I believe permits can be issued at any point during the year when somebody makes an application, but primarily the bulk would come in the first part of the calendar year, January and February.
Follow up, Mr. Chairman. And Travis, what would be the chances of having an allocation program implemented in the coming season in 2020?
Commissioner Bioworth, members of the commission, I believe it'd be pretty difficult, but I can't really say. I've never been involved in that part of a process. And unfortunately, Cheryl's out for medical reasons, and her wealth of knowledge isn't here I can tap into.
Okay, anything further from the commission? Mr. Menard, I'll give you about 6 minutes or so.
Mr. Chairman, members of the commission, my name is Mac Menard. I'm the executive director with the Montana Outfitters and Guides Association. I want to thank you very much for the opportunity to be able to try to coalesce something here. MOG has been involved along with others, FOAM and many other organizations and groups, trying to puzzle over a possible outcome here. Where can we go? What can we do? And it's been reminded to me that, you know, speed is good, accuracy is better, and we need to be careful. We need to be not for the purpose of obstruction or some other derogatory term, but for the purpose of getting it right. MOGA's interest has to do with a statewide application as well. I think when we're done here, we hope that we have a model that is transportable and that we can apply as these issues grow onto other rivers. And as an organization that represents the industry in all its forms, we have a real interest in doing that. So I'm going to get on with what we tried to develop as a fourth option. The fourth option is a it's a grouping of ideas that are generally supportable. These are things that have evolved over time that people seem like they can get behind, and not only can they get behind them, they will in fact address a significant part of the problem, not all. As Martha Williams and I spoke, it's not all, but it is indeed a large portion. And the first step that we would encourage is that you today initiate rulemaking to stop the issuance of SRP permits using the 2018 level. And based on that, it's to stop the run to the Madison that we've experienced the last couple of years of people just trying to get days on the water, days on the river. Granted, it's not going to curb total use of those SRP holders. We know that. That are already licensed, but it will stop the run to it. We've had conversations with a number of commission members and members of the public that said, oh my God, while you delay this, Mac, you are causing more SRP users to show up. Well, I'll take part of that, but I'll also suggest we could initiate rulemaking today to do that. The second piece doesn't involve rulemaking. It involves a close coordination with the department from the commission, and our recommendation would be a communique coming from the commission that allows the department to understand that, that these next elements are indeed important. And they would be to fully implement the FAS Ambassador Program. That has been an issue, that has been a topic of discussion that is, I guess, universally accepted. If the survey data that we looked at in terms of dissatisfaction is correct, it tells us that about between 60 and 70% of the dissatisfaction that was reported over those years occurred when people trying to put in and take out at an FAS site. And that makes sense. You start your trip or you end your trip, you're dissatisfied. The FAS Ambassador Program is the idea of sort of a greeter, if you will, somebody who can educate, somebody who can coordinate, somebody who can basically be a number of great things like a parking lot attendant to an advocate to an educator. And frankly, the concept, I think, is quite simple. We've actually outlined a plan. We've had productive meetings with department staff, where it would be, when it would be, what it could work. It could certainly be refined, relatively inexpensive. Put somebody on the ground to relieve that issue of behavior, largely through not understanding what you're doing at the launch site. 60 to 70%, I think, of the dissatisfaction occurred there. That's a fairly significant step, and it's simply administrative. We'd like to see the commission in that communique task staff, the appropriate staff, to examine the value, utility, ability to obtain a recreational easement on the upper river. Walk and wade is a concept that is valuable for the purpose of diversity of fishing opportunity, but it's only valuable if indeed the public has full and open access. And you will hear, and you have heard, quite frankly, for over a year now, the difficulties associated with that concept. And so if we apply the success of the Blackfoot recreational easement system to that section of the Madison River, it is conceivable that such a thing could exist and could work. But we would encourage in that communique that appropriate staff be directed to look into that and then report back. The third one is to develop an insurance policy for the fishery. And I'll admit, I bump into a wall on this one, but I'm going to explain it anyway. Fishery management objectives in the form of fish per river mile, catch rate, and size of the catchable population are all parameters that define fish health and actually define angler expectation. So when you go to the river, you have an expectation that the fishery is going to look like something in terms of your of its biological characteristics. And those are going to be defined for the angler in terms of how many fish per hour he's catching, what the size comp of that catch is, and frankly, how many fish per river mile that is. We are blessed with a department that is very good at collecting that type of data. Our recommendation is that those data be developed in such a way that they become a definition of where the tipping point is. Not to manage to the tipping point, but to allow conversations to occur within that range of healthy resource. For example, and this is just an example, take fish per river mile, take an identified section, take a species. If that looked like 1,000 fish per river mile, you throw an 80% confidence interval around that. The low end of that confidence interval, based upon multiple observations over years, begins to define the tipping point. And if we approach that, then actions beyond what we're talking about today, actions beyond social, become important. It's important, and I think as we grow to understand this, we would know that that minimum threshold is actually pretty darn important for us. It's not new. It's been used in other areas. And we would recommend in that communication that you ask staff to at least explore it, to find out whether that is viable or not as a management tool. And Chairman Colton, just so you know, it's not like an elk objective. These would be revisited periodically. Thank you. I would like to see the outfitting community granted the opportunity to continue the work that FOAM has started. I have heard from some people that it is laughable that the commercial interests would ask for the opportunity to develop that plan. Laughable. I've heard it's, we had comments even today that it's just unrealistic. Well, actually, all you have to do is go back to Dr. Bias's commentary, and there is no one in this room that is more familiar with the numbers than him, to understand just how complex it is. And to allow us the opportunity to further refine that, report back to you, not in the form of a public comment period, but in the form of a directive, and have it back by time certain. My intention would be that we would work heavily with FOAM's plan. We would adjust those pieces that people have raised as potential issues. We would also have an interest in studying it for its statewide application, possibly making some adjustments to it, reporting back to you with a plan that, yes, the commercial industry developed, but it would go through the full MAPA process. You would have had the expertise, you would have had the time and energy of the people that can do it best. So those are basically the three things we've asked in the fourth option, a communique of the department, the opportunity for the outfitters to pull together and develop a plan in time certain, and it would be for 2021. There are issues with that. Bookings are occurring and all that sort of thing are happening right now. So for 2021, and then also go ahead and cap the SRPs at this point. So with that, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Menard. Any questions from the commission for MAC? Okay, thank you. Any estimations of how many people we have out in the front? I didn't look out there. MAC, how many people are out front, do you suspect? What I do you want to take a? We're going to take a break till 9:30, just a little after 9:30, and then we'll come back and start our comment period.